Please have your study guide out, as well as if you want to take notes, it's totally up to you. Have your study guide out for sure, though. As we go through, we're going to run into terms that are going to be on there. Okay? I think, and this is kind of, this is perfect timing, we are coming out of a very big social event. We have had all kinds of different social dynamics going on. You have been very tuned into, I don't know, I heard there was some kind of thing. There was a thing.
It was a little thing.
What?
There was a thing that happened.
A big drinking. Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's exactly what it was.
I think it was.
I've heard about this thing.
There was a thing. I heard that there was a lot of, you know, awkward moments and also awesome moments and all kinds of good stuff.
Are you talking about prom?
It was a thing.
Let's hear it.
I've got nothing. All I'm saying is that it's perfect timing to start talking about social cognition coming out of prom. Yes, prom. Yes, that's what I was hinting at. Of course, maybe I'm too subtle. Maybe I'm too sly.
You're funny.
What is cognition? Cognition sounds like something.
Like cognitive.
Cognitive, so it has to do with what's going on inside of our brain, obviously. Social cognition has to do with how we perceive things going on around us, how we perceive interpersonal relations with other people, okay? I think you guys are going to enjoy this one, because as people, we are social people. Okay? We are motivated to pay attention to each other. And we can be influenced in all kinds of different ways as we go through. This section is, or not just this section, but this whole chapter is going to break down how we're affected by each other, how we perceive each other, and how that plays into our life. Marketing, all kinds of different things. So when we bring in our advertisements tomorrow, what we're going to start looking at is we're going to start looking at how the way that we perceive other people, things that go on around us, how those things affect us. We're going to start looking at different elements tomorrow of persuasion. Okay? Not quite there yet, but we're going to start being a little bit more conscious about what we perceive and what goes on around us. Our first section, which we're going to cover today, it's a short one, right? Is about attitudes. Attitudes are beliefs and feelings about objects, people, and events that lead people to behave in certain ways. Beliefs and feelings about objects, people, and events that lead people to behave in certain ways. We've all got tons of attitudes about different things. Attitudes about people, okay? Attitudes about pets. Some people are dog people, some people are cat people, okay? Attitudes about what we want to do in life. Attitudes about what's appropriate behavior in different situations, attitudes about what's appropriate clothing in different situations, all kinds of different things. All kinds of attitudes. Okay? One more thing with this before I go on to the next slide. When we do our little activity later on, I'm going to have you look at attitudes and behavior. Okay? And how those two things relate, how attitudes at times can generate behavior, and how at times behaviors can actually make us form attitudes. Okay? So pay a little bit of attention to what we're talking about with attitudes. Think of some examples of what you have attitudes about, okay? Because that's going to play into our activity a little bit later on. Okay. Some different factors that play a role in attitude development. Lots of different ways that we come up with these attitudes about different things. Why some people are dog people, some people are cat people. Why some people like to dress in one way, some people like to dress in another way. All of our different attitudes come about in different ways. Okay? Some of the different ways they come about, some of the different factors, the ways they come about, are things such as conditioning. Remember, conditioning is kind of a fancy word for saying learning. Okay, how we learn things. Okay, as we grow up, we're reinforced. Okay? We're reinforced by our parents. This is a good thing. This is a bad thing. You get a reward for certain things. You get punishment for other things. So So as we're growing up, we're being conditioned, or we're being learned, right? It's not proper English, but we're being learned by our parents. Put a little accent on that one. Okay, so we're developing our attitudes in that way, by either being reinforced or being punished. We also often develop attitudes about what is positive or negative by observing others through observational learning. Okay? If there's somebody that you think is a good person, that you think is interesting, you might pay attention to what they do. And in that way, you might adopt some of their attitudes, you might adopt some of their behaviors. You might also, just as we're growing up, we're always paying attention to our parents. We might not necessarily want to think that we're adopting all their attitudes, but for the most part, we're going to adopt a lot of our parents' attitudes. You're always kind of picking up on their different behaviors. There's kind of a cool little clip that I want to show you guys sometime, but I won't get into it right now. But we're always kind of watching each other. And we model things, we learn from each other. Again, kind of imagine that you didn't know. Remember, I gave you the amnesia example. Say you walk into school one day and all of a sudden you had amnesia and you didn't know where to go, what to do. What would you do? You would pay attention to other people and you would learn based on their behavior. Okay, so we're always learning based on other people's behavior. That's something we call observational learning. Okay? Also, as opposed to just having kind of external pressures put on us, through conditioning and observational learning, we also get attitudes through our own cognitive evaluation, what we call cognitive evaluation. Okay, this is the process of evaluating information that we have inside of us. This is an internal way of forming our own attitude. So it's not just always kind of like the B.F. Skinner model of external pressures, reinforcement, punishment coming at us. There's also, we build up a certain amount of information, and we get to make our own independent decisions. Okay? So some of our attitudes are going to come about, especially later on in life, when we sit down and we decide, you know, what we believe, what we want to do with our life, what we think is good, what we think is bad. This is a process where you already have a bunch of information in there, and you're an independent human being. You're going through this process of evaluating that information. So that's another way that we can form attitudes, cognitive evaluation. Okay. Early on in life, our attitudes tend to serve as something called cognitive anchors that keep people from adopting different attitudes. Those attitudes that you get very early on, they might go away for a while. Chances are they'll show back up. A lot of times, people will grow up in a certain type of household, they'll go off to college and they'll, maybe try out a different way of dress, or they'll try out, maybe going into a career field that their parents maybe wouldn't have been that in favor of. And oftentimes we'll try out different things and we'll kind of come back to what is comfortable to us, what we grew up with. Right? It's the idea that very early on we are very impressionable and we're picking up the influences of our parents, we're picking up the influences of our peers kind of early on in life, and those things tend to stick with us over the course of our lives. Okay, so that's what we're going to call cognitive anchors. Those very early on, those attitudes that are formed early on, don't tend to go away throughout our lives. Looking at attitudes and behaviors, find that behavior tends to be linked with attitudes. Okay. However, the link between attitudes and behavior is not always strong. It kind of depends on the strength of our attitudes. Behavior is likely to follow attitudes when the attitudes are specific, strongly held, personally relevant, and verbalized. Okay. If you have a real strong attitude about something, that is likely to dictate your behavior. If you don't have a very strong attitude about what clothing to wear on a Monday, I don't really care what clothing somebody wears on a Monday. That's not going to dictate my behavior. It's not going to dictate what I wear on a Monday. I'm not going to frown on you if you wear, for whatever you wear on a Monday. Okay? But if I had a really strong behavior, if I said, man, I can't stand it when people wear, we're at Tuesday. I was gonna teach somebody, okay? I can't stand it when people wear yellow on a Tuesday, okay? Because I have this very strong attitude where people should not wear yellow on a Tuesday, I'm gonna look down on Jordan because she wore yellow on a Tuesday. Sorry, Jordan. Okay, no big deal though. But because of that strongly held attitude, I'm more likely to then act on that attitude. Okay? If I don't care, I'm less likely to act upon it. So there's a link between attitudes and behavior. Okay? So another example, you believe strongly in protecting the planet. That's a strong attitude. You're an environmentalist, you believe in protecting the planet, so you choose to recycle. If you don't believe as strongly in protecting the planet, are you as likely to recycle? No, you're probably not going to act. Okay? In addition, it can go the other way. Attitudes often follow behavior to reduce cognitive dissonance. That was a term that we talked about a little while back. It's the idea that there is tension at all times between our attitudes and our behaviors. And when our attitudes don't match up with our behaviors, we feel uncomfortable. We get that gut feeling, you know what's right, for example, and maybe you do something that doesn't really line up with your values or your morality, and you feel bad about it. There's that tension inside of you. And you want to reduce that tension, so you change your behavior to align with your values or your attitudes to get rid of that tension. Okay? What we will also do at times is when we have a habit of acting in a certain way, okay, we can also form an attitude that conforms to that behavior. So it doesn't, our attitudes don't always necessarily have to come first. At times we can adjust our attitudes to a consistent behavior that we have. So for example, you need to get 8 hours of sleep. Okay, you know that you need to get 8 hours of sleep. That would be the good thing for you. That would make you the healthiest. You know that you need to get that 8 hours of sleep. However, your work schedule doesn't allow you enough time to get that 8 hours of sleep. Okay, so you convince yourself, you form an attitude that you only need 6 hours of sleep, even though you know in the back of your mind that you've learned throughout your life that you should be getting 8. Okay, but you convince yourself, no, I really only need 6. You form an attitude that sleep isn't that important. Okay, you can do without it. It's a convenient attitude, right? It's formed based on the fact that your consistent behaviors, you'll feel better about them if your attitude conforms with that behavior. Okay? So sometimes that behavior can lead to the formation of an attitude. Short section. Okay. Our activity now.